But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is Nicole. Join me on this adventure as we go from glory to glory.
Hello and welcome back. Okay, so today we are going to conclude, hopefully, our teaching on the prophetic intercessor. We have quite a bit of ground to cover here, so let's see if we can get it all done today. All right, let me just start us out with some prayer. Lord, Holy Spirit, I just thank you for your presence, your power, your wisdom, your understanding, for the fullness of who you are. And we just invite you to enlighten our minds and our hearts to your truth. I just ask that you would allow us to glean everything from this teaching that we need to, and more. I pray that you pour out a special anointing on me as well as those watching or listening to this, so that they too may have an understanding of who you are and how you work through the prophetic intercessor. And Lord, I just thank you for this ministry, and I thank you for how you partner with mere men to do your will and to accomplish all that you are in the earth. It's an honor and a privilege. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So, all right, let's dive in here. I first want to say this, that the prophetic intercessor, it is a role. You might even have heard people say before, you know, when someone talks about prophecy or someone's a prophet, it's like, is it the gift of prophecy or is it the office of the prophet? And if you're wondering, like, what that means, it simply means the role, okay? It's the simplest way to say it, the role of the person in the body of Christ. So that scripture is from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10 through 12. It says, and the same one, meaning the Holy Spirit, who descended, is the one who ascended higher to, oh, I'm sorry, no, that's Jesus. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that he might fill the universe with himself. Then it says, verse 11, now these are the gifts Christ gave the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors, and the teachers. These are roles. People call this the office gifts. It just means that these are the roles. To put it in terms that you can understand, you know, a mother, a wife, this is a role. Okay, you're a mother because you birth a child, okay? But to be an effective mother, there are other things that make you up, right? You're nurturing, you're kind, you're loving, you clean the house, you cook the food, and you do all of that because you're a mother. All of those make up the role of mother. But then you could have a surrogate mother. This person just birthed the child. They're not necessarily the person who's going to be mothering the child, okay? So this is why I'm saying, under mother, there are many different things that makes up that role. So you can have individual gifts, and then you have roles in the body of Christ that the Lord has appointed these people to do that specific job, Okay, so when someone says the office of the prophet, this is the person's job. It does not mean that their only gift is prophecy. No, because it takes many different things to make a prophet. Okay, that prophecy as a gift for the prophet is just one of their gifts. There are many other gifts that come into play with that particular role or office. So what I'm saying to you is that a prophetic intercessor is also another role. Therefore, this person, prophecy is only one of the gifts. There are many other gifts. And so this is why we're using the book of Ezekiel to highlight, where I'm just going through and I'm highlighting the gifts for you. And so you have an idea of what makes up this role. What is there? Okay. So we already saw last week intercession. We saw prophecy. We saw the gift of mercy. And I have on here also working with angels. This is not a gift. However, not every gift or role or office in the body of Christ works with angels the way that the prophetic intercessor would, or intercessors, or the prophet would. Okay, so I had to put it on here because it, not everybody does that. Okay, so now let's continue looking at some other gifts that are here. So we have Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 1 through 5. It says, "Then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the gate of the house of the Lord that faces east. There at the entrance of the gate were 25 men, and I saw among them Jaazaniah, son of Azur, and Pelatiah, son of Benaniah, leaders of the people." First of all, it says the Spirit lifted me up and brought me. This is traveling in the Spirit. Yes, he travels in the Spirit as the prophetic intercessor. Verse 2, "The Lord said to me, son of man, these are the men who are plotting evil and giving wicked advice in this city. They say, haven't our houses been built recently rebuilt? The city is a pot, and we are the meat in it. Therefore, prophesy against them. Prophesy, son of man." Then the Spirit of the Lord came on me, and he told me to say, "This is what the Lord says. That is what you are saying, you leaders in Israel, but I know what is going through your mind." What is this? He has the ability to read their minds while he's operating in the gift. So that's two more. Traveling the Spirit and the ability to read someone's mind. Then we go to Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 13. I'm going to give you 10 and I'm going to give you 13. Okay, so 10 says, and he is prophesying this according to the word of the Lord, "You will be slaughtered all the way to the borders of Israel. I will execute judgment on you, and you will know that I am the Lord." Then verse 13 says, "Now, as I was prophesying, Pelatiah, son of Benaniah, died. Then I fell face down and cried out in a loud voice, 'Alas, sovereign Lord, will you completely destroy the remnant of Israel?'" What are we seeing here? We are seeing that his words have immediate effect. Number one. Number two, whatever he says under this anointing in this role, it happens. It happens. He literally had just prophesied that they would be slaughtered and judgment would be executed upon them. And right as he's speaking, one of them drops over dead. Yeah. And so now you understand why this is not the kind of role for someone who has not done their work, has not gone through the process of renewing their mind, renewing their soul, and dealing with traumas. Because what happens now is, if you have these things on you, if you have unforgiveness and hatred towards people, then anything is likely to come out of your mouth that is from your own stuff. It's not God. And when you have an anointing this powerful that you can prophesy something and someone can just drop dead. I'm thinking about Ananias and Sapphira right now, right? The same thing happened to them in that moment when they lied and that word was given. They just died right then because the anointing, it wasn't that it was Ezekiel that was saying this. It was God speaking through him, all right? So if you look at his reaction after this man dropped dead, he went immediately into, oh my goodness, sovereign Lord, will you completely destroy the remnant of Israel? All right? That says that while he was speaking, he didn't even realize the impact of his words. He didn't even realize that at that moment, he's standing in a role where he has the power of God flowing through him to speak a thing and it happens. So this is not the kind of role that you get when you haven't fully dealt with your stuff and you don't know how to love all people. This is a gift that has to operate from love, not hatred, not bitterness, not judgment, not anything, unforgiveness. And let's think about Moses, not anger either, okay? Right? When God said, speak to the rock, and he struck the rock, okay? If God is saying speak to the rock, that means that he also had the ability through his mouth to cause things to happen immediately. Hence, you combine that with somebody that has an anger issue, you are two steps from a disaster happening, okay? If you get them mad just right enough and they pop off on it, okay? I'm just trying to make sure you understand this. So, if you know you have an anointing for prophecy, for intercession, you're a prophetic intercessor, these things, you need to deal with them. And so what I'm saying is, we are not perfect, okay? There are going to be times when things are going to happen to you, but you need to know when, listen, this is not a good time for me to be preaching, for me to be prophesying, for me to be out there doing this stuff, because I have things going on and those things have to be dealt with, okay? So that God can really use you and you don't use that anointing or that power to do something that God doesn't want. This is huge because not everybody has this, okay? So please, that's why I said there are sometimes you just gotta step back and be like, okay, I'm gonna recuse myself from this one, or I'm gonna let somebody else preach this Sunday because I'm too mad, I'm too angry, I'm too this, I'm too that. And you know, I distinctly remember the day when I realized that if I didn't settle my accounts quickly with people, that the devil was going to use it against me to stop my progress, okay? So I was at church and there was this one person, I just did not like this woman at all. And, you know, I wasn't dealing with it. It was there, but I never prayed about it and released it to the Lord and let it go. And I remember I was at the front of the church and this lady came up for prayer and, you know, she needed me to pray with faith over what she was battling. And I was, as I was getting ready to pray for her, this person that I don't really like walked behind her and stood right there, so that I'm looking at the woman and she's like right there and I'm staring at her. And I realized in that moment that I was so disturbed that this woman was there that I couldn't really function. And at that moment, I thought to myself, look at this devil using this thing to boop, stop me. Okay? And so from that moment on was when I realized you cannot afford to carry stuff with people. The minute you start to identify, I have a problem with this person, you have to go to the Lord right away in prayer. Okay, Lord, this is going on. I am extending forgiveness immediately. I forgive them. Forgive me. For whatever you need to do, clear it. Clear it up. If you made a mistake, you go on it. You ask for forgiveness. You apologize. You clear it up immediately. All right, because you cannot afford, especially with this gift, job, role, to ever let the devil have anything against you that you cannot perform, okay? So I'm just saying, if you look at the fact that Ezekiel's mouth, from one prophetic word, that man dropped dead right then. You can't have that inside of you, okay? So, all right, next thing. If you go to chapter 37, this is where he prophesied to the dry bones. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's very long. But it's the ability to have resurrection power, immediate effect in your voice in that role. The next thing we can see clearly throughout the entire book is that he flowed in all the gifts of the Spirit. He's got the word of wisdom going on. He has word of knowledge. You already know he has prophecy. He works in miracles. Dry bones, right? He discerns spirits. The only one we didn't see, and it's probably because it wasn't necessary in this context, is the speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. But obviously, they are all there. And I think the reason why you did not see this is that at this level, it's mind-to-mind communication, all right? I don't know if you know that, but in the realm of the spirit, at a certain level, you can communicate with someone that doesn't even speak the same language as you, okay? Angels won't necessarily be speaking all the same language, but in that realm, we all speak the same language. Kind of like when we go to heaven, you're not going to be having interpreters or translators for each other. No, you're all going to have the same language, right? Remember the story of the Babel, Tower Babel? They all spoke the same language until that time, right? When God confused their language to send them all across the earth, right? So, in that realm, it's your mind that you're using to communicate. So, think about that now. What would it look like if people could read your mind? What you're thinking about other people, right? If you're going to be talking to the Lord and communicating with angels, you cannot be thinking bad thoughts about others. You have to start to become very controlled in your thought life. Make sure that what is going through your mind is clean. It's not evil and it's pure. It's pure. There are no bad thoughts there for anything. Okay? Nothing like that. It's clean. Okay. So, not going to read it, but I'll tell you. Ezekiel 1:4, we see that he has open visions and he has closed visions. Ezekiel chapter 4, the whole chapter, is him walking through the process of different things that God has told him. That became a symbol of the prophecy that he had to give to the people. All right. Now, how I look at that is like this. I don't know if this has ever happened to you before, but it happens to many people that I know, in that your life is almost like you live something first and then you prophesy what you just lived. Things will happen to you and that's the message. Okay, so the Lord will put you through something and then that becomes what you're prophesying. And that's the picture of what we see with Ezekiel's life, is that he was living or symbolically having to live through things that he needed to prophesy. Okay, now, after that, we kind of see from verse 36 onwards to the end of 48 that he has the ability also, and a part of the role is to prophesy the restoration and to speak the restoration into being as well. So the thing with the gift of prophecy is this, and especially the role of the prophetic intercessor. I don't see a prophet in the Bible anywhere that just talks judgment alone. No. There is the bad, the warnings, the judgment, but God is a God of restoration. He is always going to bring restoration to people after that. You're not just going to leave people in judgment. Shouldn't be, right? So as terrible as all the things that he had to do symbolically or speak it and people dying and judgment going forth, he was also a part of the restoration of the people to be able to actually have the joy of the restoration and partake in it, right? So there's a lot of tears and crying in the beginning when the word has to go forth. But then there's also joy in the end, in that you're able to enjoy what God is doing. You're able to enjoy the restoration and the blessings because you were a part of it, of the process, right? So very good. Now, I want to talk about like what happens when you bring the message and people don't receive the message, because that does happen. All right, now you already saw, I showed you this video before with the wall, that there is a tower, that your position is on top of the wall, which means that your vantage point, you're going to be able to see things that they cannot see. All right, now I want you to know that if you go and you tell someone something that the Lord says that you're to tell them and they don't receive it, you are not to get offended. Why would you be offended? There is no reason for you to take offense or feel bad. It is also not your job to convince anyone to believe anything. No. Your job is merely to deliver the message as you see it. That's it. And sometimes God will give you the solution, okay? If you're supposed to say something, it's not every prophetic thing you get that you say. No, even in that, you have to use wisdom and discretion with what you share. Okay, think of it like being a parent. Let's say one day you went into your daughter's room or your son's room to make their bed, and you pull the sheet back and there is a tarantula in the middle of the bed. You killed the tarantula. You checked everything and there is no more in there. You're not going to go and tell that to your kids now, are you? No, because now they'll be terrified. They won't want to sleep in their room. They're going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't go back in there. Okay? So it's not everything that you do that you were able to get rid of that you're supposed to repeat. Some things, you just go do your job as the intercessor or the prophetic intercessor, and that is that. Okay? You do not need a pat on the back, an attaboy, a cookie, because you did something good. No, this is between you and the Lord. You don't need to say everything. Okay? As a matter of fact, I only tell people if God says tell them. And normally, when I get into the position where the Lord says, I need you to tell them, that tells me one thing and one thing only, that whatever it was that I did, I wasn't able to stop it, and it's coming back, or it is still coming, and when it hits, it's going to be bad. So he'll have me say something in these instances, and I say it. And do people always receive what I say? No. I'm going to tell you that right now. They do not. Some people, for different reasons, varying reasons. I am a prophet too, and if that were the case, God would show it to me. Sometimes it's that. They think there's no way this can happen because God would show it to me first. Instead of saying, which would have been the right response, okay, I'm going to take this into prayer of the Lord. Thank you for telling me. That would be the way to receive it. Thank you for telling me. Then you go take it into prayer with the Lord. Okay, Lord, is this true? Did you send this person? Is this really what happened? They said that I should handle it like this. Is this really how you want me to handle it? Get an answer from God, right? No. I think some people just brush it aside. No, they'll just say that. This is not your problem. You don't need to follow up to see if they listen, what they did. No, your job is to deliver the message, and that's it. Some people, they won't listen because they're prideful. Pride. And if they feel like, oh no, you can't tell me that, you know, are in their mind, yeah, don't speak negatively to me. Only tell me good things. This is a bad thing you're telling me. And they won't receive it because of that. But whatever their reason is, it doesn't matter. Your job is to deliver the message. And that's it. And let them do what they have to do with that. Okay? Now, if you're the person and someone is saying something to you, you need to do this with all prophetic words that you get from anyone. Don't just grab it and run and say, this person said, so it must be, or push it aside because you didn't like what they said. You have to go to the Lord with that word and say, okay, this was it. What say you, God? And then you proceed from that point, okay? Because honestly, if you don't listen, there's a problem. And now here's the thing. I want you to look at it this way. Let's say you have a prophetic gift and you have a really good relationship with the Lord and you're thinking, why would God tell them and not tell me? View it as roles. Everybody has a role. Okay? So, if you're having a church service and you're the pastor in the church and you have to get up there and preach, your role at that moment is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, be focused on the Lord so you can go and deliver a message. That's your role. The Lord is not going to tell you when you're getting all ready to go deliver a message. Guess what? There's a witch. She just came in the back door and she's about to curse you and your entire congregation. And she's going to mess up the marriage of these people and she's about to do this. He's not going to tell you. Because if that happens, you've now lost focus on what you're supposed to do. That's why he didn't tell you. Not because you're a bad person. No. In that moment, you have a job to do. You need to focus on your job. The drummer is drumming. Let him drum. The worship singer is singing. Let her sing. The watchman is watching. Let them watch. And everybody is going to have a different perspective on that thing. It doesn't mean that one is right or one is wrong. Or, oh, you're more holy than me because he told you and he didn't tell me. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with what is the role of this person. Teachers teach, prophets prophesy, apostles plant church, and they go. Okay? Evangelists win souls. We are not the same. And so you should always remember that. You're not gonna know everything. Even if you love the Lord and you have a super tight relationship with Him, maybe in that moment, God was not gonna pull you out of your role to tell that to you. So He sends someone else in to watch your back and tell you about it. So you have to receive things, take it back to the Lord, pray about it, and then make a decision. And if you're the one that's delivering the message, don't get offended. It is not your job to explain God to anybody or to convince them. If they think you're kooky and you're crazy, they think you're kooky and you're crazy. And that's it. And you have to be okay with that, right? You just have to be okay with that. When you are doing this thing, you cannot be a people pleaser. Because trust me, some of the people you have to say things to, you're not going to want to tell them that. Everybody wants to be liked. Nobody says, I'm just coming here to stir up problems and have a whole bunch of people don't like me. But let me tell you something. You have to be okay with delivering the news, whatever the news may be. So being a people pleaser is not it. I don't care who it is, who you got to go send that message to. You have to do it because this is a serious thing, okay? The message you deliver is what you see and what the Lord said. It was Jesus who said, I only say what my Father is saying. I only do what my Father is doing. So you deliver the message exactly as you saw or the Lord said. Okay. Now, generally, if someone does not receive what I have to say, and it is something very serious that's going to have consequences attached to it that are bad, then what I will do, I will follow it up and say to them, okay, do me a favor and read Ezekiel chapter 33. This is a key scripture because this tells them that I am doing my job and the ball is now officially in your court. What you choose to do with it from this point is now on you. It is no longer on me. And so if they took the time to go and read it, they realize at that moment that you're serious. And if they decide to listen or not listen, you're serious, okay? And then it's on them. It's no longer on you. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and look at Ezekiel chapter 33. Verse 1 through 9, and this pretty much explains it all. It says, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, speak to your people and say to them, when I bring the sword against a land, and the people of the land choose one of their men and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming against the land and blows the trumpet to warn the people, then if anyone hears the trumpet but does not heed the warning, and the sword comes and takes their life, their blood will be on their own head. Since they heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not heed the warning, their blood will be on their own head. If they had heeded the warning, they would have saved themselves. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes someone's life, the person's life will be taken because of their sin, but I will hold the watchman accountable for their blood. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them the warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade them from their ways, that wicked person will die for their sin, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the wicked person to turn from their ways, and they do not do so, they will die from their sin, though you yourself will be saved. In other words, if he told you to go and tell them, you have to tell them. Because if you don't tell them and something happens, you are responsible as the watchman. Whether it be a church, a group, or a person, one person, okay? That's it. Now, if you tell them and they don't listen to you, you're not responsible. They are responsible for that thing, okay? This is how it works. Now, keep this in mind too. If God has sent you as a watchman to a place, and you like those people and you don't want to create any waves, so you try to be nice, and you know they don't like to hear negativity, so you see something bad coming and you say nothing. That too has some serious consequences as far as the Lord is concerned, based on what I just read here. Okay? You cannot let other people dictate to you how you do your job. Whether they like what you got to say or not. And if the Lord says, go tell them, and they go, you got to leave our church. Leave the church. Okay? That's why I said, you cannot be a people pleaser and do this. Mm-mm. Because whether they want to hear it or not, according to the word of the Lord, you have to tell them. That means if they ever say, we don't want to hear any negativity here, okay, we're all good until I got something to tell you that God says. And if you say, I got to leave your church, I will go. Because you can't do nothing to me, but listen, man. The one who sent me? Oh, he's going to make sure that I hear it. Okay? Loud and clear. So, I just want to like clearly outline this to you so you understand. The next thing is this. You know, I shared all of those gifts with you. I do not want you to think like I walk around, or the prophetic intercessors just walk around and they're just flowing with all these gifts, and they can do this and that and just speak a word and blah blah blah. No, these gifts are there when you are performing the role. When you are performing the role, they're all there, active, okay? One of the main difference, and the reason why the prophetic intercessor has all these gifts, think about it. Go back to the tower. The intercessors are on the ground. Inside that place, they have limited view. They can only see what they can see in that very limited place. That's why you have these intercessory prayer groups, where you have different intercessors will show different things based on their perspective that God is showing them. And all these different people in the different rooms will put the big picture together right there. The prophetic intercessor being up here, most of the time they're working alone. They don't have the group of people. They're up there by themselves. So God gives them all of these gifts to be able to operate and function from that level when they're in the role. They don't come off of there and just walk into Publix and pa, 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 pa. can do this and that and that and I got that. It doesn't work like that. It's the gifts come when you're fulfilling the role. They're not just there 24/7. I am this person. No. Think of it as an emergency room doctor. If he's outside or she's outside at a party or whatever, they're just a regular person. They're not doing anything. When the call comes and they leave there and they go into the operating room and they wash their hands, picture of repentance, and they put on their clothes, now you're robed in your role. Now, where are my tools? Where am I this? And they get to work and they're doing their thing, right? It's when you're in the role, operating, that the gifts come. Now, the emergency room physician, going back to that again, has to get to the place and go through these steps to get there. When you're a prophetic intercessor, people, it's like that. It's similar to an emergency room physician. The only thing is that it's an instantaneous thing that can happen anywhere. This is not something that you plan for, or you go and you say, well, I'm going to do this now. No, no. Because remember now, you're not going to see the danger in the spirit unless it's there. And no, there isn't a demon behind every tree that's going to do everything. Okay? Keep in mind, as I said before, you have different types of people. People that haven't dealt with their things yet, and so they haven't gone through, so they're still going through their process. They're not going to look good, but they're not dangerous people, okay? Demonized people, possessed people, and then you got the witches, okay? Demons and principalities and all of that kind of stuff. So things could be going on, but the danger might not be there as in other cases. Okay, so I'm just saying, you're not always gonna be, you, after a while you learn to discern how dangerous is this. Not only that, think of it again, at the top of the tower, you see the danger coming, what do? Back in the day, bow and arrow. You took it out. You got rid of the spider out of the bed. No one in the camp needs to know that. Okay, no. So some things you can stop it really quick and you're fine. Other things, when God calls you into the role, it's a process you have to go through to really tap in and follow it through from start to finish. And if you realize that, okay, this is not slowing down, it's not backing up, this is gonna happen, then if you pray, then the Lord will tell you, you need to go and say something. And then you say it, okay? But these gifts, they come when you get called to the role. It's not something that's just, you're just walking in this stuff 24/7. No. But the call is like that, instantaneously. And it doesn't, you don't know when it's going to happen. That's why I said it's kind of like an emergency room physician, because it's like you have to be prepared. And I have tried before. Oh my gosh. In the beginning, when it would happen to me, I'd be like, I don't want to see that. Don't show that to me. Especially when I'm on vacation. Mm-mm. And this has happened to me before. I remember the first time I went on, and it doesn't happen on all vacations, it's just certain places depending on what's going on there. I was on vacation with my friends, and the minute I just got to that country, man, I could feel it. And I'm thinking to myself, doesn't the Lord know? I was like, I hung out my on vacation sign, don't call me. I'm on vacation. I'm relaxing now. I do this all the time back home. I'm on vacation. I'm not supposed to be doing this here. No. And that thing, the weight of it would not lift off of me until like the second day, finally, when I realized that this is not going anywhere. And my friends were like, okay, we're going to go into town. Da, da, da. I said to them, you know what, guys? Go without me. I'm going to stay back here and I'll catch you all later for dinner. Because I realized at that moment it was not coming off of me. And I had to stay in the room and intercede. Pray it through until it lifted. Then I was able to enjoy my vacation. And that was the first time I basically knew that I can't turn it off. I can never turn it off, ever. And I don't get to decide when I get called. I just get called, you know? So that's it. That's what I wanted to share with you. And hopefully from this, you got something. And remember, if you're operating in this gifting, understand from the perspective of the people that you're ministering to, they cannot see it the way you see it. So don't get offended if they don't accept what you have to say. And sometimes too, depending on how big this is, I will pray for them that God will send them someone else and that they'll hear it again from someone that they trust. And maybe if they hear it twice, then they'll heed the warning, okay? But it's not about you. You just do what the Lord told you to do, and that's all there is to it, okay? Well, that's it. I hope you really got something out of this. And next week, I'm going to talk about the prophet, the prophetic gifting. And there's going to be a lot of overlapping here with a few differences, but it's very similar, okay? All right, so that's it. Let me pray. God, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for how you use us in the body of Christ to do amazing things for your kingdom, to bring your will on earth as it is in heaven, and that you even give us access to do the things that we're doing, Lord, that you allow us to be a part of this. You allow us to be a part of this. And I am ever so grateful to you, Lord, for just pulling us in, pulling me in, and allowing me to have a front seat and to understand how much you love your people, how much you want to protect your church and bless us at the same time, and that you're a God of restoration. Even if the news is temporarily not good, eventually it gets into glorious, beautiful territory, God, where we can rejoice and have so much joy in what you're doing. I thank you for your word. I pray that you would just bless everyone, that those you're calling into this role as a prophetic intercessor, that you will begin to work on their hearts, that you would just begin to purify them, Lord, and get them ready mentally, emotionally, physically, in their souls, in their bodies, that they will be prepared to carry this and to honor you in it, Lord. We just thank you for this. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, that's it, and I will see you next week. Bye.